Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. I'm Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist. Today, I'm speaking with Dr. Denise Pope, Senior Lecturer at the Stanford University School of Education and co-founder of Challenge Success, a research and intervention project that aims to reduce unhealthy pressure on youth and champions a broader vision of youth success. With her is Rabbi Patricia Carlin Newman, Stanford University Senior Associate Dean for Religious Life and a Research and Policy Advisor for Challenge Success. In this next segment, we talk about how parents can challenge society's notion of success in their own family and in their community. Is it possible for a student to be driven but really directionless, to feel like they are working towards a specific goal, but for that goal to really not move them or compel them underneath the surface?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what we're seeing. You know, and I think because of that, then you get stressed out. So when you're told in fourth grade that you've got an hour and a half of homework, and by the time you get to high school, the average of, you know, the kids in our study, and these are high-achieving schools that we're studying, the average amount of homework each night is well above 3 hours. And you're working at extracurriculars well above 2 or 3 hours every day. And you've got all the regular everyday pressures of being a teenager and social pressures, and you're going through puberty and your body's changing and your parents are nagging you to get stuff done and get the top grades. I mean, a lot of these kids are really pushing and pushing and pushing. And if you ask them why, they look at you and say, well, I've got to get in. I've got to get into college. I've got to make my parents happy. But it's not deeper than that. It's not, they don't have purpose beyond the treadmill. So I would say, yeah, I mean, that's exactly the kind of kids we're seeing. And for a lot of these kids, it's making them sick, which is, you know, the double whammy.
How are parents contributing to the problem? And what kind of parents are helping?
I think that parents inadvertently contribute to the problem. It's the little things, the everyday kind of life. Parents are busy. Parents are on the treadmill, too. And the first thing you say when you walk in the door might be, have you done your homework yet? Or how'd you do on the history test? And what you're saying when you send that message is, you know, hi, honey, the most important thing that happened to you today in my eyes is what grade you got on a test. And it just comes out of the mouth. There are many, many things that parents can do to help. We have a mnemonic aid in Challenge Success called PDF. And what that does not stand for Portable Document Format. It stands for Playtime, Downtime, Family Time. There's a lot of research that shows that kids today of all ages are not getting enough of any of those things. Playtime, downtime, family time. Every kid needs PDF every day. So this tool is a reminder, but we also walk you through in our courses and our workshops how you can carve out more time for free, unstructured play, not necessarily scheduled ballet classes or scheduled sports, but free unstructured play where the kids can be creative, where they can work on conflict negotiation, where they really learn how to interact with people. We work on how you can build in more downtime and more family time, both of which become extremely important for the health and well-being of the children later on.
I see parents who I think are having their own trouble with downtime, like just sitting still and not, or having a weekend where they don't have stuff to do and feeling like it was a productive or fulfilling weekend.
Well, there's an important component of Jewish tradition which helps us to understand how to experience that, which is Shabbat. You know, the idea that we have a day set aside for relationships, for conversation, for good food, for other kinds of sustenance, a time when we're not part of the economy, I think that it's really important to recover that. And family rituals are incredibly important in building resilience, whether it be a Shabbat dinner or hiking together or having a vacation that the family looks forward to every year where there isn't internet contact and people are offline. Asking good questions, appreciating the uniqueness of each individual kid. I think that parents are often the ones who have a sense of their kid's uniqueness and to really appreciate that, to model learning, not grades. What are the questions that keep kids compelled? What are the things that they really appreciate and are curious about, and fostering that? I think that in the things that we want to avoid doing, we talk about helicopter parents a lot. Parents often are afraid to let their kids fail. And it's only by them having experienced failure and recovering from it that they have confidence that they can take on the next challenge. And sometimes I think, certainly in the Jewish community, we regard our kids as our own parenting grade. I've had the experience of people asking me what schools my kids went to, and when they hear it, they say, oh, you must have been a really good parent, as if my parenting is determined by the narrow band of schools that are acceptable. I actually had to stop going to synagogue during the month where students were hearing about what schools they got into, because every conversation with all of the parents were about where they had applied and where they gotten in and where they were going. And the feverishness of those comparisons felt so, I don't even know the word, it felt like we had reduced these thoughtful, creative, quirky, interesting, sometimes problematic, sometimes confused human beings into slots of A, B, C, or D. And they were not only getting their own grade based on what the name of their school was, but the parents who were pushing them were also giving and getting grades. I couldn't be near it.
So let's say you have to be near it. What's a good thing to say?
You know, one of the things that we tell parents to do is to find just one other like-minded parent and hold on tight. And when you are in those conversations, what do you mean your child's not doing the more competitive soccer league? You know they'll never be able to play soccer in high school. Or what do you mean you don't correct your child's homework every night? You're letting them make all these errors, and aren't they forming bad habits? Or what do you mean your kid's not reading by the age of 7? You know, what you have to say is, in our family, we value, and then you fill in the blank. Very, very important that families define success on their own terms. So how would I answer that question? I'd say, you know what? I really value playtime, downtime, and family time. And if I sign my daughter up for one more activity, it's going to really impinge on those very important things. So we're not going to do XYZ activity today. Or it's really less important to me how she does on a spelling test than whether she gets her chores done and is nice to her siblings. So that's what we were working on last night. Mm-hmm. And you really do have to really be countercultural and stick to your guns and find one other like person who can be with you and support you, because it's very hard. You are swimming upstream. When it comes to talking about colleges, I tell parents and kids to say, in my house, we actually don't talk about where we're applying. Once I make the decision of the school that is just right for me, I'm happy to tell all my friends and family. But it's a very private time for me right now, so I'm not going to tell you where I'm applying. You can fill that in with, I'm not going to tell you what I got on my SAT scores. You can fill that in with, I'm not going to tell you what I got on my advanced placement test, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that in and of itself just privately making a decision is completely going against the grain today because of the nature of social media and just the way that people feel about broadcasting their lives. So it certainly sounds like a challenge to be able to say, I don't talk about some things.
It also is a way of acknowledging that there's a value system that you're putting in place that is different than the value system you're surrounded by. You know, you don't write on your resume about integrity or being a good friend or being a caring family member. Those are not measurable. And we have in our liturgy, Elud Varin She'en Lahem Shior, these are the obligations without measure. These are the things that are without measure, and they run the gamut from honoring parents to performing acts of loving kindness to studying for the sake of learning. So those are all things that you can respond to by saying, these are the things that animate our family. These are the things that animate my education. And where I'm going to study is contingent upon finding a community in which those are valued, those are appreciated.
And the trick, I think, is to be able to express this countercultural tendency without putting the judgment on it that we're rejecting. You know, without saying, well, in our family, we care about being good people. That's why I don't sign up for, you know, intramural soccer or something.
I'm going to push it a little bit, though, because, and part of that is because I am an educator and we do run these courses and workshops for parents. We are educating them to have a broader view of success. So when someone comes up to me and says, you know, how did your kid do on this test? Often I will say, honestly, I don't know because I don't ask her about her tests in my house. And they kind of look shocked. And I'll say, yeah, you know, let me tell you why. And I'll kind of explain it. Not in a way of, oh, I'm better than you, mm-hmm. but this is kind of what we decided to do as a family. And as part of our courses, we have families come up with mission statements. And how else do you make parenting decisions if you don't know what you're basing those on, if you don't know the values you're basing those on? And so what we're really doing is educating people, and it may mean, and again, you have to know when someone is willing to hear it or not, but often people will say, what? Or they look shocked, or they'll say, why? And then I will give an explanation as to why we're doing something. I mean, the point is really to go one family at a time, one school at a time, really changing the conversation. So the more you can dialogue about the different choices you've made and why you've made them, that's the only way everyone's going to start to really be a lot more reflective about their parenting.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast, find more resources, including links and discussion guides, and let us know what you think at urj.org/parents.